G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, the podcast that's all about intermittent fasting. I'm your host, Graham Curry from Perth, Australia. I lost 60 kilograms or 132 pounds living an intermittent fasting lifestyle and have successfully maintained that weight loss. I'm also the author of the Amazon category best-selling book, The Fasting Highway, which will give you a great insight into what it's actually like to live it day to day, how to get started, what it's about, what are some of the health benefits that come from it, and how to turn it into a successful long-term lifestyle. In this series of podcasts, you'll be hearing from people from all over the world, from the beginners to the experienced and those that are on the journey. You'll also be hearing from some leaders in the intermittent fasting community, and you'll also be hearing from some past guests as we recheck in to see how they've been going. And thank you for joining us here on the Fasting Highway. Enjoy the show. G'day, and welcome to the Fasting Highway podcast, and this is episode 110. And just before I get to today's guest, I just wanted to give a big thank you to those out there that have been buying my book, The Fasting Highway. Thank you so much for all the messages. Thank you so much for the support and also the feedback that I've received from people all around the world. And I'm glad it's resonated with you and helped you get started on your own intermittent fasting journeys. Okay, on to today's guest. I'm delighted to be joined today by Nadia Nigro. And Nadia is from New Jersey in the United States of America, and she's married and has three children. And Nadia had a few trials and tribulations with weight in her life, and her weight got up to an unacceptable level. And it was after that she had a conversation with a relative that led her on the path to finding out about intermittent fasting. She started doing some research and delving deep, and she started on January the 1st, 2020, and she saw an amazing weight loss in the first year, which she's going to tell us about in this podcast. So here to tell us her amazing story is Nadia Nigro. Oh, g'day, Nadia, and welcome to the Fasting Highway, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I really enjoy your page, Window Worthy IF Foods, that a lot of people may know about. But for those people that don't know you, Nadia, around the world, if you wouldn't mind sharing some of your backstory, history with weight-related issues or health, that sort of thing, and how you actually found your pathway to intermittent fasting.
Okay, so as I was growing up, I was always a little overweight, never obese, but slightly overweight always. And then once I got married and had one kid and then another and then a third one within 5 years, the weight just kept piling on and on. And after every pregnancy, I would lose a little bit, but I would always hang on to some. And then the next pregnancy, same thing would happen. And I knew that I was gaining weight as the years went on, and I was in my 30s. By the time I was in my early 40s, I was well into the 150s, 160s. When I was married, I was 127. So I knew that weight had piled on through the years. But because I love cooking and I love baking and I love food in general, I never thought that I would have the will to be able to do any diet. So I really never went on any diets. I was too much of a foodie to be able to go on a diet. So I just kept eating all the foods and baking all the delicious cakes and cookies at home and eating a lot of them myself, and preparing all the scrumptious meals that I always did for my husband and my family and enjoying them too. The years just kept going and the weight kept piling on until at the end of 2019, I ended up having a very bad pain in my shoulder. It was like a frozen shoulder. I could not move my arm at all. I couldn't even brush my hair. It was so bad. So I ended up having to go to an orthopedist. It had been a while since I had last even weighed myself because I didn't even have a scale at home. I was just, you know, happily oblivious, living a life of good food. But at that doctor's visit, I had to get weighed. I was shocked because I was 172. And just as a background info, I'm only 5 foot tall. So for somebody with that frame of 5 feet, 172 was just devastating. For one thing, because I had never been that heavy in my life before, even when I was pregnant full term with any of my kids, I had never been that heavy. And also my husband, who is 6 feet, he's a whole foot taller than me. He's only in his 160s. So that combined just shocked me. And I knew that was my turning point. I knew I had to do something. I could not just keep going on the way I had been. And this coincided with my winter break from school. I'm a teacher. So I was off from school over the winter break, and we were calling relatives over the holidays for Christmas to just catch up with people. And I was chatting with a cousin of my husband's who lives in Florida. And I shared with him, he asked how we were doing. And I just shared that I really need to do something about my weight because I had just had a doctor's appointment and I was 172. And he said, hey, why don't you try intermittent fasting? I've been doing it this year and I lost 35 pounds. And I had never heard of it before. But because I was off from school, I had time on my hands. I said, okay, I will research it. And I started researching. I watched a whole bunch of videos on YouTube. I read as much as I could find online. And I decided I would start. January 1st, 2020 was my first day. And I have not looked back.
Oh, that's fantastic. And what a great way to find out about intermittent fasting as well. That's amazing. And congratulations on the three children, by the way. That's fantastic as well. And I know you're very well, you're a very popular person, Nadia, amongst intermittent fasters that know of you. A lot of people may not know that you are actually behind the Window Worthy Intermittent Fasting Foods Group on Facebook, which we'll talk about a bit later more in depth. So, Nadia, you found out about intermittent fasting. You started January 1st, 2020. And we all know 2020 was a pretty hectic sort of a year. And just tell us how you started, what was your protocol, and why did you choose that?
So initially, I started with 16 hours of fasting and an 8-hour window of eating, because this was what I saw on the videos that I first watched over that winter break when I first heard about intermittent fasting. So I did that for a few months. What I also did was I cut down on my sugar intake as well. So I think those two combined really worked in my favor. What I didn't know at the time was about the clean fast, because I had not heard of Delay Don't Deny. I had not heard of Jen Stevens. In April of that year, I had been fasting 16-8 every day. Once I started, I never stopped. That was non-negotiable. Every day I was doing 16-8. I would open at 11 o'clock and I would close my eating window by 7 p.m. I ate two meals with one snack in between because my lunch at school was at 11 o'clock. That's when I ate my lunch. Then I would have a slight snack around 3:30 on my way home from work, and then I would have dinner with my family by 6, and I would be done by 7. Then in April, I think I first found out a group on Facebook that was Jen Stevens' group. I bought Delay Don't Deny, the book. I read it. I learned about the clean fast. I learned that there were more ways to fast than just the 16-8. I started incorporating the clean fast right away, and I decided I would go to one meal a day, because by that point, I knew I could do it. I was fat adapted. I really, it was very seamless. That transition for me did not take any pain on my part. Like, I just very seamlessly transitioned into one meal a day, clean fast all the way. I don't drink coffee to begin with. So for me, that was not an issue. Like, I know a lot of people struggle with not being able to drink black coffee. I don't drink coffee at all. I get headaches from the smell of it, so I can't even be in the room with coffee. But I do drink black tea, green tea, and just plain water. So I do that. I do my meal actually is midday. I like to eat in the middle of the day, either when my lunch at school is at 11 o'clock or at 1 when I have my prep, I switch them up. Sometimes I wait until I get home, depending on if I have any plans with my husband or friends coming over or if we are going out, and then I just wait a little bit later. I'm not concerned that much about the fasting period. I just look at my eating period. So some days I may eat at 11, some days at 1, some days at 4 o'clock. But as long as my eating period is about 2.5 hours, I'm happy. I have become very flexible. So some days it can be four hours. Others can be only one. But that's what I love about intermittent fasting, is that it is flexible and it can work with your schedule. It can work with your life. I make it so that it works with my life, and I love that about it. It's sustainable.
Well, I agree with you. It is flexible and it is sustainable. And obviously, being a teacher, and you do have days that are different, you know, you're obviously doing things for school, and some days you might be doing something at a certain time. So it really suits that sort of a lifestyle, I think. But let's talk about that fasting for a minute, the clean fast you mentioned you found out about. You started in April after you'd already started fasting for a few months and you were seeing some results. But just give us a picture of what you were doing prior to when you started clean fasting. What sort of things were you doing in your fast that you would consider a dirty fast?
They weren't really awful. I was drinking herbal teas or fruit teas. So I guess they were sweeter, not just the bitter taste profile that the black and the green tea give. And also I would add either apple cider vinegar to my water sometimes, or lemon, just fresh lemon. I love fresh lemon. So that was mainly what was my dirty in the fast. But then once I read that that's not the best, I decided I can wait for my lemon and ACV until I open my window.
Okay, that's great. And when you started clean fasting, did you sort of notice any differences to what you were doing? Did you see any marked changes in how you felt or anything like that? Or did the fasting become much easier?
I think it was kind of a combination of the fact that I had been doing it for 4 months at that point, and I had adapted to it. And also, once I started doing the clean fast, I think both of those things worked in my favor, to where I really, it was like a breeze. I mean, it was so easy for me. I had no issues. Also, I have to say, at that time, April, May, June, was the time when we were in lockdown and I was teaching from home. And it was an extremely hectic, stressful period of my life, because I was locked up in my room teaching online, something that I had never done before. And my students, I teach students of English as a second language, so a lot of them don't speak any English, and a lot of them didn't even have much of computer literacy. So doing that online with them was the most challenging thing I have done in my life. And I didn't even have time to think about food. So I would, at that time, I was only eating after I would get done with work after 3:30. So I would just be in front of the computer working. Even during my lunch break, I still had to work, and I would eat after 3. So for me, when I'm really busy, I don't think about food. It is not a problem at all. I don't feel hungry. I'm just working because I have to get things done. So that also was another aspect of the fact, yeah, it was easy. I had no issues. That's just kept going.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I really love it. So you mentioned there that you're a foodie, you're a cook, and obviously you come from a family that loves food, and you have get-togethers and you all love the food, and they all probably love the food you make, knowing what I've seen on your Facebook pages. So how did you sort of adapt to your eating window at the beginning? Were you eating all the things, or was there anything you were delaying from the start back in January 2020?
I decided to delay sugar, to limit it, because I know that it's not good for me. I also know I don't feel great when I eat it. I mean, I love it. I have a really bad sweet tooth, but I limited it. I didn't quite just say I will not have any at all, ever, because I know that over-restricting is not great for me either. I still want it to be a sustainable lifestyle for me. So I do have desserts occasionally, or if I do, it's something small to just appease that sweet tooth of mine. But yes, that was the one thing that I did limit. Generally, even before that, I did eat a lot of vegetables and a lot of fruit. We love gardening. That's one passion that both my husband and I have. And I actually grew up in Bulgaria with a vegetable garden. I always had fresh vegetables and fruit at home, as we do now here. So I've always loved that. It was just a matter of not eating as much of the processed carbs and refined sugars for me. And I think once I started losing the weight and I started feeling better and I started having more energy, I was more conscious of the fact that I want to eat better as well. I want what I eat, I want it to be healthy. I want it to be nourishing for my body. And yes, it may feel good as I'm eating it, but does it do good to my body? And that's when I decided to just switch things around and limiting the processed carbs mainly and the refined sugars.
Yeah, I think that's great. You've got to get to that point, don't you? I always find that I say to myself, I need to eat what makes me feel my greatest, Nadia.
Yes.
If I said to myself, I can eat whatever I want, and I just went troppo, that's an Australian word for binge eating, when a window opens and you just eat everything in sight, well, it doesn't work for me, and I know that. So I've got to really take that in mind. And as you know, I was a sugar and fast food addict, and when I came to fasting, I'd already got a lot of that out of my system, and I felt that really helped. And so you obviously being a cook and learning about sugar and trying to cut down, that's tricky too, because we often see in food packaging labels, it's hard to read them sometimes because there's so many hidden sugars in food. Did you find that you were educating yourself about the hidden sugars in food and ingredients and that sort of thing as a cook?
Yes, that is very true. And a lot of sugar lurking in plenty of places like pasta sauce and ketchup and whatnot that, you know, you wouldn't think of at first thought, you know, that's sugary. But yes, what also helps for me is that I do a lot of cooking from scratch. So when I know the ingredients that I'm putting in the food that I'm preparing, I can limit or I can regulate the amount of sugar that goes in things. So yes, definitely we do not do freezer type meals, like family meals that you just get from the freezer section in the stores. I prepare everything fresh with fresh ingredients from scratch. And this way I know exactly what goes in them.
Yeah, so while we're talking about food, Nadia, and obviously a lot of people, that's a big part of their day, trying to work out what they're going to have in their window and that. And as a really great cook, if you're looking for some sugar substitutes that sort of can help you with making food taste a bit more palatable, are there some things that you use, or monk fruits or anything like that?
I have used honey as a sweetener. I do like dried fruit. And it does have a lot of natural sugars in it. But when I'm trying to satisfy my sweet tooth and I want to have a dessert that I don't feel bad about eating, dried fruit with peanut butter, sprinkled with some coconut, shaved coconut on it, is very good for me. I also like making chia seed puddings, which have a lot of nutritional value, but also taste good to me, at least. So I make them with almond milk usually. I add, aside from the chia seed, I also add flaxseed. I put nuts, different kinds of nuts, and I add dried fruit. So those I love. Fresh fruit with a little bit of cheese sometimes, that's also great. Those are my go-tos.
So Nadia, we'll take a bit of a deep dive into your love of window-worthy intermittent fasting food as you describe it a little bit later, but also, we talk about the non-scale victories and the health benefits that come from intermittent fasting. You've been doing this for some 2 years now, Nadia. Just run us through some of those for us.
So I wasn't really a person who had a lot of health issues prior to starting, which was really miraculous considering what I was eating. But I did suffer a lot from sinus and ear infections. And I noticed that after having done intermittent fasting for maybe a year, I really didn't have any. I used to have sinus and ear infections several times every year. And I've had maybe one over the last 2 years. Also, I used to have migraines, debilitating migraines. I have headaches every once in a while, but nothing like the migraines that I used to have before starting intermittent fasting. Being overweight, and I had gotten to the point where I was obese at 172, really. I was out of breath climbing up steps. Overall, my energy levels were low. I would wake up tired. And now I don't have that. I feel more energetic. I'm not huffing and puffing if I'm going upstairs. So for me, that's a great non-scale victory. Having had 3 children, all of them with C-sections, my scars from the C-sections really faded. They're very, very barely noticeable now, which was, I am attributing to autophagy. Because I could really see them before, and now you can't almost tell where they are. Overall, my skin, my facial skin also, I noticed that it's just cleared. And a lot of people have commented on that when I put before and after pictures, which I love to do every once in a while. And people will comment on the fact that my skin looks so much healthier and clearer. And also the whites in my eyes, when you look at pictures and you just compare the before and after, there is a noticeable difference in how brighter my eyes are now. I used to have a skin tag next to my eye that just fell off within about a year of intermittent fasting. One major non-scale victory for me is I do not mind being in photos anymore. My kids grew up with their mother not ever being on any photos with them. We have so few photos of us as a whole family. It's always my 3 kids or my kids and my husband. And we love traveling. We've traveled extensively throughout Europe. And everywhere we went, I'm not on the pictures. I'm on 1, 2 at most out of thousands, and I love taking photos. I'm an amateur photographer. So that for me is great. Just the fact that I feel confident being in photos and not, I do not mind seeing my reflection in a mirror, which before I hated because, you know, you don't like looking at double chins. You don't like looking at belly rolls. I do not mind looking at myself in a mirror now. Also, I have a brand new wardrobe now. So, hey, that's something that you can get excited about because I went from size 12 and 14. I had reached 12 and 14 by the summer of 2019 when we went to Europe. I ended up having to buy pants in size 14 and I knew I was in trouble because I had never worn 14 before in my life. And now I wear 2, 4, some zeros. Like right now I'm wearing my size 0 pants from the Loft, which is just miraculous to me because I had never worn anything that small before. I don't think I ever mentioned that I ended up losing 55 pounds after about 9-10 months, and I have been maintaining it since. Like all of my clothes, all my shoes, my foot size, that changed as well, which was kind of funny. But I used to wear size 7 in always wide because my feet were just so wide, and now I wear 6, 6.5 in just normal width. I don't need the wide anymore. My rings just started falling off, so everything. So much.
Yeah. It's crazy when you talk about those things. And I've heard this so many times. I mean, I've interviewed 120 people on this podcast now, Nadia, all over the world. And people often comment about things like migraines going away, skin yes. tags falling off. And the thing yeah. that blows me away is about the scarring. You mentioned here the C-section scars, barely visible now. I mean, I interviewed a guy, he was in a bad accident, Justin Claypool, and he was telling me that these really thick, heavy scars started fading off his body. And I've heard that several times. And then the other things you mentioned, the shoe size, and I think that's a bit of the inflammation as well that goes out of us because I had the same thing happen to me. My shoe size sort of come down a little bit. And also my hat size, that's the one that freaked me out. I thought my head had shrunk. And I went down like 2 hat sizes because I like to wear hats. And so, yeah, it's all these things that add up, isn't it? You mentioned that 50 pounds or over 50 pounds in that first year. I mean, that's yes. truly incredible and life-changing in so many ways. And the fact that you're a teacher too, I can imagine for your career and teaching kids, it takes a lot of energy. That must be so much better now for you.
It is. It truly is. It was a life-changing thing for me. I will be forever grateful to my husband's cousin for introducing me to this lifestyle because I can now live a healthy lifestyle without really having to go on any diets. Like I can still eat what I like that makes me feel good and not feel that I'm depriving myself. And I can maintain a size 0 pants size, you know, to wear. So it's just mind blowing for me.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And a big shout out to your cousin. And he knows that he's now started a movement. And obviously the following you have with your window-worthy meals. Also, now you mentioned that you're in maintaining that weight now for about a year, which is also fantastic. Congratulations on that. And I know what that feels like. And sometimes maintaining is a different mindset, I feel, to actually losing the weight. And you still have to be vigilant without being obsessed about it. And I always talk mm-hmm. to people and I say, listen, when you get to maintenance, it's important to realize that if you just have the tools of IF in your toolbox and you pull them out and you make those tweaks as you go, and I like to sort of stay in a goal range, Nadia. So how do you handle maintenance with your fasting and also do you weigh at all?
Yes. So the first 4 months, I never weighed at all. When I started, I didn't have scale, but after I read Jen's book Delay Don't Deny, and she talked about weighing daily but just following your weekly average, I started doing that and I started recording it. I'm a pen and paper kind of girl, and I still keep my journal from when I started recording. I bought scale, and I would weigh every morning and I would record it, but I would only look at the weekly average, and that just kept dropping at about a rate of a pound a week, or a little more, because by October of that year I had lost 55 pounds, so a little more than a pound a week. But I was also using a fasting app. And that, I think, as a beginner, was very helpful, because I was very strict with it. Once I would start the fast on my app, my window was shut as a vault. Like, I would not even entertain the thought of food. That was it. It was closed. I would not be thinking about it. I used that up until I reached the 55 pounds weight loss. And then I decided, in maintenance, I really don't need to have the fasting app anymore. I've become more of an intuitive faster, where I know that as long as I eat midday, as long as my window is not awfully long, as long as I don't go overboard with the foods that I'm eating, I'm fine. And I have not used the fasting app for the last year. I only used it the first year. I do still weigh every morning, just because I'm curious. I don't get upset if I'm a pound over one morning, because I know the following morning I'm usually a pound under. I do fluctuate within 2 or 3 pounds at any given day of the week. It's 2 or 3 pounds is the normal fluctuation range for me, and it's fine. It's also awesome, actually, because with intermittent fasting and one meal a day, it lets you know what foods make you bloat or make you get inflamed in the morning after I eat. Like I eat pizza. I do mostly make my own pizza when we do have pizza, so I still control what goes on it. But I do enjoy 2-3 slices when we have friends over, just for my family. The morning after, my fingers are always puffy. I know I have that water retention. I know I have that inflammation. Do I enjoy it? Yes, I do enjoy it. But I know what usually happens after, with the combination of the crust, the cheese, the pasta sauce on it, and all the salt that goes into the cold cuts. I know how I would react to it. And usually I am a pound or two heavier the following day. It goes away within a couple of days. I do not fret. But yes, I try to stay within 3 pound range with maintenance, and I'm happy. I don't stress over it. I think that's the main thing with the mindset, to just not stress over it. Yeah. I do not punish myself over it. I do not go on long fasts because, oh, I've put on 2 pounds. No, I just keep going. Keep on keeping on, as Jen says.
I couldn't agree more, and I was just about nodding my head off while you were talking there, with agreeance. And so many people do that, don't they, Nadia? They beat themselves up over, having a few extras on the weekend, and they don't sort of take into consideration that may well have been a trigger food for them that spikes their weight. And obviously things like, funny enough, I made a homemade pizza last night myself. I don't ever buy pizza. I haven't been in a fast food drive-through store for 4 years. But I'd occasionally like to make one myself because, as you say, you know what's on it. But, full well, and I knew full well when I got on the scale this morning, it was going to be up a pound or two, and that's fine. It's just, as you said, all the water retention and the extra salt and the cold cuts and the cheese and the base and everything else. So when we're learning about intermittent fasting, one of the things I say to people is learn what your trigger foods are. For me, very early on, I already knew that it was sugar and fast food, but also knew it was bread. Bread is one of those things that I absolutely love with all my heart. But unfortunately, bread doesn't love me back. And so, that's one thing. And then I used to love potato chips, and I know potato chips don't serve me well. So that's another thing. And then do I deny myself? I guess I do, but I don't feel guilty about denying myself because it's good for me. And like I said before, I like to eat what makes me feel my greatest now. And I've worked out that some foods don't make me feel great. And I think that's really important, isn't it, Nadia? Find those trigger foods and find those foods that make you feel absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely, yes. And I come from a culture where, I mean, in Bulgaria, every meal had to have at least one or two slices of bread with it. And that was accompanying foods that already had potatoes or rice in them. So, yes, having to shift that mentality, you know, and just adopt a whole different way of eating, it has been a challenge because, yes, I do love bread as well. And I love baking, and there's few things that I love more than the smell of freshly baked bread in the house. There's nothing like it. But I do still bake, but I like to share it with my family, and I like to share with friends and neighbors and coworkers. So when I do make it because it makes me feel good to bake it, I don't necessarily eat it.
Yeah, it's funny. I was talking to a real estate agent once, and he said to me, "You want to sell your house faster?" He said, "Bake a loaf of bread before the home open," because people walk in and they smell that smell and they resonate with it, or their childhood growing up or whatever it may be, and they just love it. But Nadia, we talk about support networks in intermittent fasting. Obviously, you have your loving husband there and family that are behind you. And you mentioned there you were locked down some part of 2020 there. It must have been amazing when you hadn't seen friends, colleagues, people that you hadn't known for quite some time. You've lost that 55 pounds and at 5 foot tall, they must have gone, "Wow, Nadia, what's happened?"
Yes, that happened in September of 2020 when I went back to school. We just went for 2 days for professional training and then we're back to virtual teaching until March of last year. But I did see all my coworkers that day in September. And yes, a lot of people were very, very surprised and shocked because they hadn't seen me in person since March of that year, and that was when the majority of the weight had dropped. It was a big difference. Even this past week, a lady who substitutes in our school often came, and she had not been in the school for the past 2 years. And when she saw me in the faculty room, she took a double take and she was like, "You look amazing." I was like, "Oh, you hadn't seen me." She says, "No, I haven't been here in 2 years." That would do it. Yes.
Yeah.
So the support has been mostly from my husband, I have to say. He's amazing. He actually started doing intermittent fasting as well, even though he did not need it for weight loss. He's always been very lean. But because the more I read and the more I listened, the more I kept getting excited about it and wanting to share, "Oh, you won't believe what autophagy does." And I kept telling him about all the health benefits. And he said, "You know what? I think I'll start doing it." And that was a man who never skipped a meal in his life. He had to have his breakfast first thing he opened his eyes. And then he went to eating 2 meals a day. And for a time, he was even 1 meal a day. And then he lost weight that he really didn't want to lose. So he decided he'll just stick to 2 meals a day for his personal benefit. But it has been great to just have that support.
It is. And also, of course, we have the Facebook groups and that sort of thing. You mentioned you're a yes. member of Jin's groups. And it's always good to talk to what I call our tribe, isn't it, Nadia? Like, surround yourself. And people often say to me, "Oh, I don't get support at home. Nobody, people are criticizing me, you know, telling me it's bad for you and all that." And, you know, when people used to say to me, "Intermittent fasting is bad," I'll say, "You know what's bad for you? Me carrying around 360 pounds. That's what's bad for me. You know, this is going to kill me if I don't do something about it. And this is something that's helping me." And I always found the people that were the most negative, they usually turned a corner. And a lot of them now have been successfully intermittent fasting for the last year or so because they saw my results. And I think a lot of people sit back and they wait for you to fail. And then they wait for you to regain the weight. because they're not convinced. And then once you don't regain the weight, they sort of think to themselves, wow, there's really something in that. So I found even after sort of 2 years that I'd kept the weight off, I had more and more people coming to me. And I think that's what will happen to you too, Nadia. But Nadia, I want to move into the theme of the podcast today, and that's window-worthy food. So obviously you have a love of food. You're a foodie. You've come to intermittent fasting. You've developed that high-quality, great food taste that we all seem to find with intermittent fasting as we go along on our journey. Yes. You mentioned there you're more of an intuitive faster these days rather than a set-time faster. You sort of fast at different periods and when you sort of feel hungry and that sort of thing. So just tell us now, how did the window-worthy passion come about? And tell us about how you started your group, what it's called, and how people can get in touch with you there.
So I had started eating healthier foods as I kept losing weight because it made me feel better. And I was making more salads, and I was trying to always have them accompanied by good proteins to give me energy as well. But by June is when I really, when I was off from school, from work, I had more time. I started really paying attention to how I would present them as well, because there's two facets to window-worthy in my mind. The one thing that's really important is that foods, in my opinion, have to be nutrient-dense. They have to be able to nourish my body so that they can promote health and not bring on sickness. That's a given for window-worthy. And the second thing, because I'm an aesthetic person, and I love beauty and I love to create it, and I appreciate it when I see it. For me, the meals need to be presented in a visually appealing way. I want to make sure that I create a meal that is a special event, because it is my one meal that day. I want to feel like it is a window worthy, truly, experience. And we do eat with our eyes first. We smell, we really use our senses, not just taste. But when we look at that plate that's full of beautiful, vibrant foods that are not just nourishing for your body, but also really aesthetically pleasing, it does make you want to eat it, and it does make you appreciate it more. So that's when I really started doing that. It was the one thing in the day that I did for myself. Because, you know, as a mom, you always try to do things for your family, for your kids, for your husband, for work. But that was the one thing that was my self-care for the day. I took the time to prepare the one meal that I was eating that day in a way that when I served it, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm in a 5-star gourmet restaurant and I'm really going to enjoy this meal. And take the time, have that mindfulness, take the time to savor every bite that you have prepared for yourself. So people would ask me, oh, does it take a long time to put together? It really doesn't. Granted, I have worked as a professional floral designer, so I can do it rather quickly because I have sort of that skill from being able to arrange flowers in a similar way. So this was sort of like that, only I was arranging food on a plate in a beautiful way. And by June of that year, people started asking, why don't you start putting them on Instagram or start a Facebook page? And that's when I started Instagram. My handle on Instagram is my IF journey, with periods between my and IF and then journey. So my, then period, then IF, then journey. And then on Facebook, It's called Window-Worthy IF Meals. I pretty much post almost daily what I make and what I eat, and I try to post inspirational things every once in a while, and before and after photos of myself and just my journey sharing with anyone who follows. I have about, I think on Facebook, about close to 2,000 followers on the page right now, last time I checked, and on Instagram, maybe 2,400. So there's quite a lot of people that are regulars, you know, that will comment all the time and are really like my cheerleaders. But I also have a lot of people that reach out to me with personal messages, asking for help, asking for advice, tips, anything whenever they hit the plateau or just getting started. And it's been great. Because that's also in the beginning, that actually was a way for me for accountability too. So that it worked both ways. And it's been very rewarding.
Yeah, it's been very rewarding for me, I can tell you, because I look at it quite often and I often try to replicate it. Sometimes it doesn't come out quite the way it looks, but that's my fault. And I absolutely loved your passion for window-worthy food. And I say to people the same thing. If you're going to eat once a day, make it worthy. Please make it worthy. I mean, you're worthy. Let's face it. We're worthy. We love ourselves first in this lifestyle because it's important to be able to do that, to get yourself in that mindset to say to yourself, you know what, if I'm going to put something in my body once a day after I've been fasting all day, do I want to fill it up with rubbish food or do I want to eat something that's worthy, nutrient-dense food that you mentioned here, highly important, get those minerals, everything you need for your body to run. I always say to people it's like Bill and Bob, okay? So Bill and Bob have cars. So Bill has a car that he puts poor oil in. His car runs badly. Bob has a car that he puts A-grade oil in. It runs fantastic. And it's the same with the human body. It's what you put into it is how it will run. And I really encourage everybody to go and take a look at Nadia's page. We'll put the link in the show notes because I look at it most days and I just go, wow. And I love what you said about the presentation, making it special, making it an event almost. And I always sometimes like to think of it almost like a theatrical experience where you actually prepare the meals, you sit down, you look at it, you savor it. And I found that I've become a much more mindful eater through doing that, Nadia, because you actually appreciate what's on your plate. And all I can say is how lucky is your husband, how lucky are your kids to have you doing that every day. And it is like having a five-star Michelin chef in your house every day. And anybody can do it. That's the thing. Anybody can do it. So go along there and take some tips off Nadia. But Nadia, we're getting towards the back end of the podcast now, and I really appreciate everything that you've said today. It's been wonderful. We got some tips for newcomers out there, people just getting started. You mentioned people message you looking for support and that sort of thing. What would you tell somebody if you were just sitting down in a coffee shop about intermittent fasting, how to get started and why they should?
The first thing I tell them is, read Fast, Feast, Repeat by Jane Stevens. That's like my Bible on all things IF. I love her question and answer portion at the back because it pretty much covers everything that you may ever wonder about it. But aside from reading and listening to podcasts, which I love doing, be patient because a lot of people want instant gratification with everything, but especially when they start intermittent fasting. And that is one thing that intermittent fasting is not. It is not a lose weight quickly type of fad. It happens over time. You need to have the patience. Do not get discouraged if the weight doesn't just roll off as soon as you started. I didn't even start weighing until I was 4 months in. I knew I had lost some weight because of my clothes, but I wasn't in a hurry. Because I knew it had taken years for me to put on all that weight. I knew it wasn't going to come off in 3 weeks. So just give yourself time. And a lot of people, when they first start, they're like, oh, you're doing one meal a day. I will never do that. Well, nobody's asking you to start that way. I never would have been able to start that way. Start as little as you can. If you can do more than 12 hours, start at 12 hours. And then as you start getting adapted, add half an hour or an hour every week or so, or as you feel that you can do, until you get to a point where you feel comfortable doing it and you can move on to shorter eating periods. But the idea is that it is so flexible. It is sustainable. And what I love about it is you can tailor it to your lifestyle. And as Jen says in her book, it is a lifestyle that brings on health benefits, and the weight loss is just a side effect. And people don't realize that. I didn't realize it in the beginning. I started it for the weight loss myself. But once you really get educated, once you read the books, once you listen to podcasts, and I love your podcast, I love your book, I love lots of different podcasts I listen to. I mean, the 2020, I binged on every podcast I could find, because the more I learned about it, the more passionate I became about not just what it can do for me for weight loss, but what it can do for me for health. And that's where the gold is. At least that's in my opinion, but give yourself time. Do not get discouraged if it's not happening when you want it to, because your body needs to heal internally as well. If the weight loss doesn't happen right away, keep on keeping on. It will.
Yeah, fantastic advice, Nani. I love it. I always say to people that come to me for help and people that I mentor, I say, look, are you prepared to give this 6 to 12 months minimum? Because I feel you have to give it 6 to 12 months before you can make any evaluation whatsoever. I mean, often we say, yes, see posts of people that say things like, hey, I've been doing this for 2 weeks and I've only lost 2 pounds. Well, you know, Imagine if you lost a pound a week for the next 40 weeks like you did, and all of a sudden you're 50 pounds down in a year, yes, or less than a year. And that's where people don't get it, or they're in such a rush. And they're used to that from the diet industry. See, lose 10 pounds in 10 days, all that sort of message. And people just don't understand about intermittent fasting. It isn't a silver bullet. And like you said, it took years and years to get to the weight you were, up in the 170s at 5 foot tall. And it took you 10 months to get that back down 50 pounds and keep it off. And so you need to give it that 6 to 12 months, people. And don't be in any rush, as Nania says. Love yourself first. Be kind to yourself if things don't always go the right way, because this is a lifestyle and it's not something that's a short-term fix. But Nadia, I cannot tell you what has been such a pleasure to have you on my podcast today. And I really, really hope that you put all these great recipes and food into a book. Is that something you're planning in the future, an IF window-worthy book or magazine or some type of thing?
A lot of people have asked me that. Maybe one day when I'm not so busy. I just have such a busy lifestyle with, you know, working full time and having so much to do at home. But maybe one day when I find the time somehow. I do have a lot of pictures and a lot of recipes. That is true. It will just take the, you know, effort to put them together, I guess. I'm not sure. I can't give any promises, but I may try.
Nadia, thank you for joining me here on the Fasting Highway.
Thank you so much for inviting me. It was a pleasure. Thanks, Graham.
Yeah, it's been fun. Thank you. Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you so much, Nadia. Thoroughly enjoyed that chat with you. And I think that was a really great insight into what the phrase window worthy actually means when it comes to our eating window and the food that we consume. And I couldn't agree with you more throughout that podcast. And thank you so much for coming on. Okay, folks. Also, don't forget, we mentioned there the Fasting Highway Facebook group. If you are looking for some support with your own journey, we've got some 5,500 people in there from all around the world. They're a committed bunch of intermittent fasters, full of knowledge. So if you want to come and get some answers and draw on their experience, that's the Fasting Highway Facebook group. And as we mentioned in the pre-show, if you're interested in my own story, how I did my journey of intermittent fasting and how I lost 60 kilos or 132 pounds. And you can find that in my book, The Fasting Highway, which you'll find on Amazon in both paperback and Kindle. And if you are in Australia or New Zealand, you can actually buy it direct from me at www.thefastinghighway.com. Anyway, until next week, be well, be safe, and remember, clean fasting is everlasting.